We thank the Lord tonight for the privilege of an evening service. And as we come standing on the firmest foundation that we could have, and that is the foundation that the saints of the Lord are built upon. And we're thankful for that. We're going to stand and sing this great hymn of the faith, "How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord." Let's praise God tonight. Let's unite our hearts, please, in prayer as we come to the throne of grace tonight. Let's all pray. Father, what a blessed people we are, and another privilege given to us to gather in the house of prayer, a place of song and worship. And Father, again, we come to ask for the help of the Spirit of God in our worship, in our praying, as we read the Word of God. Lord, not only do I stand in need tonight of your blessing and power, so every believer here in this place does as well. Everyone that is watching online tonight, we pray, Father, again for the Spirit of God to bless every believer. We pray, Lord, also for those outside of Christ, that they would come under conviction of sin, that there would be that effectual call by the Spirit into their hearts. Lord, we have unsaved loved ones in our family connections, and we're asking again tonight, Lord, to have the Spirit speak to them, convicting of sin and showing them the only remedy for their sin, to point their eyes to Jesus Christ by faith. Lord, we can speak the words. We will quote the Scriptures. They will even sometimes be under the preaching of the Word, but we know at the end of the day it must be that convicting and converting power, the miraculous working power of the Spirit in their hearts. Dear Lord, bless us tonight. And may there be a word in season to every heart. Thankful for the special season of prayer this afternoon, not only with our own fellowship here, but connected via Zoom with our other churches. And we pray, Lord, to bless each one of the believers gathered. We pray that as we have come to unite our souls at the throne of grace, that, Lord, you would speedily answer and hear our prayer. We have devoted and committed today as a day of prayer for our nation. We ask, Lord, again to intervene in our election tomorrow for the glory of King Jesus. We know, Lord, that your great providence and sovereign purposes will be worked out for the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that for all of your people, there is a definite purpose. And I pray that we will fulfill that purpose individually, collectively as a fellowship, and for every group of faithful believers that are calling on the Lord, that are faithfully witnessing and worshiping. Lord, we know that our numbers may be few in light of many who have gone in another direction in the world. We know that one with the Lord is a majority. And Lord, we are thankful tonight that we stand upon redemption ground. Thankful for the work of Christ on Calvary's tree. Thankful for the shedding of His own precious blood. And that He has risen from the dead. And Lord, we today have our hope vested in the bright and glorious future that we have. Because Jesus lives, we shall live also. And so, Father, in the midst of all the issues of this life and the many problems that face us here, and those believers that are in trouble, in danger, in prison, under threat of death, wherever they might be in this world today, Lord, we know that they have a bright future in glory. But we are asking for help for them now. Lord, protect them. Watch over them. Give them much grace, I pray, in these times of difficulty. And so, Lord, hear our prayer now. Bless us the evening service tonight. We know that some of our fellowship can't be with us because of sickness, because, Lord, they have been set aside, or age, some infirmity. Bless them where they are. Speed their healing. Encourage their hearts and abundantly bless them. Remember all of our missionaries this night. We pray for each one of them, all of our mission fields. that whatever challenges they face, whatever the attacks the devil has brought against them, they would be victorious over every struggle and battle. And Lord, we know as we've been singing tonight that even if the burden is not removed, that your all-sufficient grace is more than plenty to give help in this time and at every time of need. So hear our prayers tonight. Encourage our hearts. Continue to be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Number 216, if you're at home using our hymnal, and if not, then the words will be on the screen behind me. Wonderful words of life. Let's stand again, please, as we sing. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This portion of the Word of God has often been turned to when people are looking for a summary of what's coming in the last of the last days. The Apostle Paul, directed by the Holy Spirit, was encouraging his young servant Timothy, young brother in the faith, and he had to say to him that in these last of the last days, it would not be an easy time. In fact, he defines them as perilous days. And so, for the people who are abiding in these perilous times, there is a call for steadfastness in the faith. There is a call for believers to know what you believe and to stand four square upon the authority of God's Word. And indeed, not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine or every trial that might come, And there will be many. The storms will increase in their ferocity. But we pray and thank God that we have a great hope. And as we've been singing tonight about the wonderful words of life, these things are very precious to us. We want to be thinking about that tonight in our evening service. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was, Jannes and Jambres. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight as we have read. There are many promises in the word of the Lord. A lot of them we will see written on calendars, daily reading books, things that people put on bookmarkers and so on. And they're good, lovely promises. You don't often see this promise written on one of those, though, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yes, that is a very real truth that God has given to us in His Word. And it's only by God's great grace and the sufficiency of that grace that we will, as His people, be able to bear up during the times when we go through seeing that promise fulfilled in our lives. Believer, you know, the more that we pray to be close to our God, the more that we are swinging the door wide open to the fulfillment of this promise in our life. Be certain of that. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, the devil, then what will they not say of his servants, his followers? And we who are slaves of Jesus Christ, most willingly, then we can expect that there will be not an easy road for us. Therefore, may God give to us much grace and understanding during our journey and our time. It's good to see everyone here tonight in our evening service. We're happy that you're with us. And viewing online, you're very, very welcome. And we trust that God would encourage your hearts in the Lord. I want to say a word of condolence to our sister Sabina as she lost her beloved brother who's over in Kuwait, and he died suddenly in this past week of a heart attack. And we certainly want to remember our sister. They had the funeral that they were able to see via Zoom online on Saturday. And do please pray for the witness that Joachim and Sabina had with the family members and those who were viewing the service, that the Lord would use that gospel word and would mightily bless it to the salvation of many precious souls. Let's not forget to remember our sick ones in the congregation and those not able to come out because of their age or some other problem. It's good to see folks coming back to the service and able to attend. We're very, very happy about that, and we pray God's blessing would be upon you. Do please remember the persecuted church as we hold them up to the Lord, our brothers and sisters that we do not know by face, not even by name. But the Lord knows them all, and He has told us to remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. And so that's a burden that we are to bear one for another. You know, to that end, we had a very special prayer time this afternoon. Thankful for that at 5 o'clock. And we pray that God will hear and answer all those prayers from those uttered here in our own fellowship and from the congregations across our own country, those connected with us. I want to remember, please, the election tomorrow in our nation of Canada. As we have been focusing on that very subject matter, to be praying for God's purpose and will to be done, and every citizen of the land, we should all be exercising our right to be out and casting our votes. And let's take that responsibility that we have in a free society and take that very seriously indeed. Please remember the services for this incoming week. Wednesday evening, our Bible study and prayer time at 7:30, asking for the session and board to come at 6:30 in order to meet in the parking lot and discuss some important things regarding our property. Want to think about Friday night. This coming Friday night is a special evening set aside of appreciation for our Sunday school teachers. And I want to be sure that everyone is very clear on this. We want to have this special time for our Sunday school teachers and for their spouses because we have not had a time of to be able to recognize them by way of thankfulness and appreciation. So it will be for the teachers and their spouses only. And we'll be meeting here on Friday night at 7 p.m. And we will be having a time of fellowship and some refreshments. So please come prepared for that. And we're looking forward, and it will be taken care of, all those things. You don't have to do anything, but just come, and we're looking forward to a nice time together, and do please come in time. Come a little bit early, planning for 7 p.m., but come a little bit before that, and we'll be able to have some good fellowship as well. Next Lord's Day, our service is at the regular time, and also remembering that on October the 3rd, which is the first Lord's Day of the month, we'll be meeting for communion again, but also it will be the recommencement of our Sunday school for all ages. And we're looking forward to that. And so please be much in prayer. That time, by the way, for Sunday school, set your clock and your alarm 9:55. We want to make sure everyone is going to be on time and early to the house of God so we can maximize the time we have around His Word. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise now. And oh, by the way, don't forget the offering. If you would like to commit an offering to the Lord's work here, the plate is at the table on the back as you're going. And if you need an offering envelope, there are some at the back as well. But you know, the offering that we collect here, it's really for our own people, members of this fellowship, who support the work in the ministry. And that's really who that's for. If you're a visitor, you're not obligated in any way to contribute. It's only as the Lord leads. So we're going to sing again, please, Psalm 119, the first selection, remaining seated while we sing. How blessed it is to pray over Psalm 119. We know that the psalm has the word of the Lord, the testimonies, the statutes, the commandments, in virtually every verse of that great psalm. And as we've been thinking tonight on the word of God, it was fitting that we would sing that praise to God as well. I'm going to ask you now to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Book of Romans, chapter 15. We will read the first 13 verses. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust." Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Just before we pray, rather fascinating, is it not, the number of scriptures that have rolled off the apostle's tongue regarding the Gentiles? He just cites four of them right off from the prophets. And yet it was striking, and we have been noticing this in our study in the book of Acts, how that when Paul was making his defense before the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees in Jerusalem and at Caesarea, that as soon as he mentioned the Gentiles in his testimony, they could not take it. And they ran upon him to beat him, and they would have killed him had it not been for the intervention by God of the Roman leader at that time, the captain. But yet it's so clear from the scripture that this was the purpose of God. And he speaks about Christ, the Messiah, coming from the root of Jesse, of David, to be a light, a savior, a deliverer for the entire world. And there was indeed a hint going back to the book of Genesis when God made promise to Abraham that the Messiah would come with deliverances, and all nations, all Gentiles, all peoples of the world would be blessed through him. Ah, what a great hope and promise that we have in him tonight. Let's bow before the Lord, please, in prayer. Father, as we rejoice tonight that we are found in our right mind, spiritually speaking, we are alive and we have clarity of thought. We are clothed, not just materially and physically, much better than that, Lord. We are clothed spiritually in the righteous garments of Christ. And Lord, we have been brought out of darkness and into the light and life and liberty of our blessed Lord and Savior. These things, Father, we cannot understand. We cannot really comprehend the wonder of it all. But I pray tonight that we will be thankful in our hearts. We certainly can do that. And I pray, Father, that you would help me tonight to speak the Word of God with crystal clarity, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and there would be edification to the hearts of your people, and that there would be a word to everyone who is unsaved. Lord, convict and convert sinners, we pray. Point them to the Christ of God, who hung on Calvary's tree and shed his own precious blood for their redemption. Lord, point sinners to Jesus tonight, I pray. Hear our prayers now. In Jesus' holy name we ask. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight, please, in Romans 15 and verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Specifically, I draw your attention to that one phrase in the middle that says, written for our learning. If you have been in our ministry or fellowship for any length of time, you will know that this word and these words were set aside at the very foundation and formation of Whitfield Christian Schools. This verse of Scripture was chosen really as a motto, because our school ministry was founded upon the Word of the Lord from its inception. We have prayed many times and we have wanted from the beginning that our school would be a school of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that would be understood and realized, what does that mean other than our work and ministry and outcome would be founded upon the absolute standard of God's holy word? That's what we wanted. Quite honestly and frankly, we don't want anything else. If it is going to go astray from that foundation principle. Now, we know that in education there are so many facets to it, aren't there? There are so many avenues and areas of which a student may decide to go, led by the Spirit of God. But our heart's prayer is this, that our school will be the very framework in the lives of young people to teach them the Scriptures and show them that the only true foundation that they can build on in their life is God's Word. And that what God has given to us, it is presented for our education, our learning. We know there is so much in that very truth. We read also in our congregational reading from 2 Timothy 3, and verse 16 is one that the Apostle Paul shared with Timothy, but it's so important. It speaks about all Scripture given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration is a very precious one. It's made up of two words in the original. It's made up of God and breathing out. And so God's name is joined with the other Greek word theopneustos, pneustos meaning breathed out from God. And what better way of describing the Holy Scriptures that we have before us as that which has come from God Himself. And just as naturally, brothers and sisters, as we are breathing air over our vocal cords that allows sounds to then be formed by our tongue and our lips, our mouth, and we are able to communicate words. And God has blessed humanity with the great privilege of being able to communicate one to another in language. Well, God has breathed out His Word to us, and we have it. And I know that God breathed out His Word to the Old Testament prophets in Hebrew mainly, and a few small portions in Aramaic. And to the New Testament believers, they were given the Word of God in the Greek language. And so the Scriptures have come to us in their original format in this way. But the Holy Spirit came upon prophets and apostles and those who were led by God to breathe His, to write down the communication which He, by His Spirit, had spoken to them. So important for us to know that, because other than that, we would maybe wonder, or people would conjecture, well, the Bible is maybe a nice historic book. It might be accurate in some things, but it's just like an encyclopedia or some other historic record. No, friend, no, not at all. We have the firm conviction as God's children, resting upon the Holy Scriptures, knowing that they have been given by God. And when we believe that, it changes everything. Because it brings clarity and focus into why we follow the very Scriptures and the Bible that we have. I mean, if this was written by men, I would not be standing up here telling you to follow its dictates and its direction. No, friend. If you do not have the firm conviction tonight that God has given to us His holy word, then you will be led very much astray. And so when God in His Spirit so controlled, so oversaw the prophets and the apostles that wrote down His Scripture, it is the unique and the miraculous inspiration that we have, because God's Spirit did not make men robots. God's Spirit did not overturn or throw away the personality of the individual that He was using. And you will see this as you read the varying Scriptures. You will note that Paul's writings have a unique aspect to it, different than Peter's. And the Old Testament prophets, they varied in the way that the Word was communicated. God's Spirit breathed through them so that they were giving the mind of God into the mind of men, and that message that God wanted to communicate was written down. And we have His Word before us tonight. As biblical evangelicals and as Protestants, we hold very firmly to this tenet of the Bible alone as the rule of faith and practice. And I, as a preacher of the gospel, do not stand for my authority upon confessions of faith, as good as they may be. And yet you might say to me, but I thought you said you have signed the Westminster Confession of Faith as we have compiled that and put it together under the Free Presbyterian Church. Have I not signed that in my ordination? Yes, I did. But it was very strictly and plainly called the substandards. What does that mean? It means that we look upon those confessions of faith as accurately, fairly, reasonably teaching what the Bible teaches. And therefore, the Scriptures are the standard. And those substandards help to explain what we believe the Bible is teaching. So let's be very clear about that. That creeds or statements of faith that people may make, they may well be good and accurate, as I hold personally to the Westminster Confession of Faith, but it must come back to the authority of God's holy Word itself. We believe the Bible is infallible. It is inerrant. It is inspired. And, my dear friends, it is preserved by God's Spirit as well. The supreme purpose of the Scripture, it is to reveal the mind of God to the mind of man. The purpose of the written revelation of God is to reveal Himself to humanity. It's what God wants us to know about Himself. Because, my friends, quite frankly, if God had not done this and if He had not given us His Word, we would not know details specific about the Lord. We have the revelation of nature, and that tells us something about a supreme being. But when the Lord breathed out His Word and gave it to us in written form, it has shown us things about who He is, about His nature, about His character, about His person. And those things are so precious, and we cherish them as they are given to us in the Scripture. But the Bible goes farther than that, because it tells us the responsibility that a man has toward God. It tells us of the requirements and the duty that God demands of us, because it shows us about His holiness and perfection. We also are brought face to face with our unholiness and our corruption. And therefore, there's a massive problem, because that reveals a great distance between us and God. But the Lord then has made known the remedy. Praise His name. He has shown to us that there is a Savior for sinners, and His name is called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Oh, I'm happy about that message tonight, and that which has been revealed. For we know the Bible says, the soul that sins, it shall die. And that means, my friend, separation from God forever and forever in a lost eternity. But the Lord has made a remedy, and He has revealed our Lord Jesus Christ to us. He has given to us His only begotten Son. And I say this to you tonight, friend, if you are not a Christian, if you're not a believer tonight, that God in grace and mercy has given His only begotten Son to be your Savior, to die on a cruel cross of shame and suffering, so that the wrath of God would not fall on you, on me, but it fell upon His Son. And the Lord has shown that to us in His Word. And that great message of the gospel, that glorious message of salvation, has been verified and concluded, because Jesus rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He is coming back again to this world. And all of these things, my friend, we would not know had God not given them to us in His own precious Word. And so, when we come to this verse of Scripture tonight, we are thinking about the underlying purpose of the Word of God. It is, yes, to show us the holiness of God and the way that we can be united to Him again. But the Lord is mapping out for His children the pathway of life. He is giving to us the instructions that we need. And what He said to young Timothy was that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Young person today, could emphasize that to you, that God has given you His Word so that you can be brought to saving faith in Christ. Do you know Him tonight? Have you made Him your Savior? Friend, you're watching online tonight, and I say this to you most earnestly. I stand in the place of Christ speaking to you and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are the servants of the living God to say to you, it's time. It's time to repent of your sin. It is time to seek the Lord with all your heart. And then once you have come to Christ, there is a life to be lived for Him. There is in front of you days, months, years, you hope, to be co-laborers with your God, to walk in service with Him. And that is the very purpose that God has called us tonight and saved us, that we will be conformed like unto Jesus. Are we walking in conformity to Him today? Well, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us that the Bible has been given to us for our learning, for our Christian education. It's been given to us to show us Christ as Savior, but also to show us Christ as Shepherd, the one who will lead us, the one whom our eyes are to be on. And tonight, we have such a precious gift in front of us. Please notice in the first place tonight that the Scriptures are given to inform and to teach us. To inform and to teach us. We sang from Psalm 119, and when we read through that particular psalm, so highlighting the Word and the commandment of God, His statutes, when we pray over that portion of the Scripture, the psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought after the Lord. With my whole heart, Lord, do I desire to be instructed. With my desire, Lord, I want to be taught in the pathway that I am to go. Now, you may have been a Christian for many years, but you know a sad thing is that there are a lot of Christians who have been on the road for a long time, but they are really spiritual babies. Because, friend, maybe there has not been the growth that should have been along the way. It was a sad thing, you know, when the Apostle Paul had to write to the Hebrews and say, I cannot write unto you as being mature believers, but as rather unto children. Instead of being educators, you have still of need to be ones who are taught. Now, we know we are all on the road of being taught. We're learning new things every day in our faith. But that was certainly not a compliment that the apostles said to them, because there are steps and stages of our Christian development, and we must be ourselves students of the Word in order that we will be instructed and growing and learning in the ways of the Savior. Hebrews 6 and verse 1, the apostle said, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of salvation, baptisms. And he goes on and lists many things that you would say, wow, those are pretty serious and weighty matters. And indeed they are. But he was saying to us, those are foundational principles. Build on them, but don't ever get to the point where you never get past them. We must grow and develop in our Christian walk. And as Christians standing for the truth in Canada in our time, and when we're praying for the Lord to bless us and make use of us in our nation, believers, I say this to you, We must be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. We must be ready for the day of battle. We must be educated Christians. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But how is it, my dear friend, that you will know the Lord? You will know God by knowing about Him through the Scriptures. And the more that you are a student of the Word, the more you will be instructed by the Spirit of God. One of the great truths that was born out of the Reformation was the priesthood of all believers. Away with the nonsense of Roman priesthood or any other kind of Orthodox priesthood or anything else of that nature. The Lord has called us, every saved person, we are kings and priests unto God, Revelation 1. And the very truth of that means that we are the ones who are to not only be instructed, but we are need to be able to instruct others as well. Will we, as God's people and children in this generation of 2021 in Canada, are we going to be strong in the faith that we have? Are we going to be able to lead forward and show by example in our communities, in a nation that is reeling out of control, in depth of darkness and sin? We must be, as God's people, informed and instructed and taught in the ways of Christ. Now, this will be done, I hope and pray, by the very nature of gathered in a church fellowship like this or watching online in the service. God has set up for us structured services that we might gather for fellowship and gather for instruction and teaching. God has given to His churches pastors, teachers, instructors, helpers, administrators. But friend, there's a great responsibility upon you to instruct yourself by the Spirit of God and alone with the Lord, because God's Word is written for our learning, written for your learning, written for my learning. You know, as a pastor, preparing for messages and studying the Scriptures, I fear, and I pray this to the Lord, I don't want to do this, Father, just to prepare messages. But my prayer is that God will use His Word to instruct my own spirit and heart. I need that. Believe me, I need that. I need to grow myself in the Lord. I need to come face to face with the fact that the Bible is written for my learning, my instruction, because I need to be taught of God. You know something, friend? When the Lord teaches you something from His Word, you will never forget it. When you learn stuff in school, you will forget it. Sadly, you probably forget a whole lot of it. But when the Lord's Spirit teaches you something from His Word, it will be engraved upon your heart and your mind, and you will not forget it. And I pray for those very blessed times of communion with the Lord, myself personally. You pray that for yourself too. Pray when you get alone with God and His Word in prayer, that the Spirit of God will take His pen and write upon the fleshy tables of our hearts what He wants to teach us. Yes, these things are written for our learning, to inform and in teach us. In the second place tonight, these things are written for our learning to produce patience in Christians. Don't we often hear about the patience of Job? That's written for us in the Scriptures. And I believe James mentions that too, the patience of Job. But you know, when you read Job's book, it starts out and he did not sin against the Lord with his lips. But then you go through all the dialogue of Job back and forth and what happened with his three friends who were not so friendly to him. They were kind of more like, well, Job's comforters, as we call them. They made an assessment about God's servant that was completely wrong. Strangely enough, though, a lot of the stuff you read about what they had to say, Bildad and all the other characters, it was actually good things they had to say, but it was wrongly applied. And they totally missed the mark with Job. But when you read about what Job went through and the responses that Job made and the complaints that he had toward the Lord, sometimes it's hard to understand how do you fit in this description of Job and the patience of Job. And perhaps it gives to us another idea of the biblical definition of patience when you examine the life of this man of God. Because you can't just take one little section out of Job's life and say, well, that doesn't look very patient to me. Because if the Lord was to take any section out of our lives and say, well, that's not a very nice example, but it's the whole picture. It's the whole life. It's the redeemed life. It's the life that we have in Christ. And it's the life that the Lord wants to see mirrored in us of His only begotten Son. And when we look at the patience of Christ, we do well to pray to that end, Lord, create that patience in us. I'd like you to turn to Revelation 14 for a moment. Revelation 14. Verse number 11, as you break into this chapter, it's speaking about the fall of Babylon. It's speaking about the song that was sung by those in heaven over the great victory that God had over Babylon. But look at verse 11. It says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Verse 12 is the focal point here. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I want you to think upon this tonight because we're considering the Word of God written for us, the Scriptures given to us, and they are producing something in our daily sanctification. And what is that? One of the main things is that's producing patience. And here the Lord tells us that we have a definition or a description of the patience of the saints. And as they were waiting and watching and seeing how God was going to fulfill His purpose, His Word, in the destruction of those that were against Christ and against the church. Eventually, this destruction did come. Eventually, God's name was totally and completely vindicated. And Christ's kingdom has been established. And His name is being lifted up forever and ever. And God gives us a description of the patience of the saints who waited and waited and endured much persecution until the day came when in God's perfect timetable, His name was lifted up to be glorified. Yes, my friend, the patience of the saints. Turn also back a few pages to the book of James, chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 10. James says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." This is speaking about inspiration here. This is speaking about those who were faithfully serving God as prophets and how the Lord used them and raised them up as an example. They have spoken the name of the Lord, and they're given to us as a shining example of suffering, affliction, but of patience. Are you a patient believer tonight? Has God's Word been maturing and developing and ripening to the full fruit of what it is to accomplish in our lives? Patience in a lot of things temporal, well, you may see yourself having a little bit of a lack in that area. And we sometimes will joke about it, about people not being so patient. And I do know that within temporal things, there can be frustrations and we can be impatient because of the ineptitude of people and so on. Sometimes those things spill over. But when they affect our testimony, when they affect how we approach life, that's the danger. We've got to be watching for that. Because ultimately, what is in us spiritually and the grace of God working patience in us through the Scriptures and through the examples I've given you, two, three of them here tonight, of Job, of the book of Revelation, and here in James. And brothers and sisters, let us see these things worked out in our own lives and through the reading of Scripture and through the meditation and asking the Lord, "Lord, I pray that I will have the patience of saints. I pray that this truth will be percolating in us and it will be distilling into our lives from the Word. Because when that takes place, we will be more clearly reflecting, mirroring the beauty of our Lord Jesus in us." And that's what we desire. That's what we want. The third thing we learn tonight from this is that the written Word of God will provide comfort. It will provide comfort. Back to Romans 15, verse 4 again. "Whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort," we through patience and comfort of the Word. Isn't God's truth and Word to us the greatest comfort that we can have in the times when our hearts are broken? When you have been bereaved of a loved one. When something has happened in your life that others might desire to come along and comfort you, but they have no words that will be able to mend the broken heart. It is God's own Word, my friends, sent by His Spirit, sent through the Scriptures. And that comfort that settles down deep in your soul, there might be a lot of noise going on around us, and the noise of persecution, or the noise of criticism, or the noise of all kinds of things. But in the noise and din around, God's Spirit speaks to us that Word of comfort. Because we come to a God of all comfort tonight, who comforteth us in all of our afflictions. And I don't know, friend, the specific trial that you are going through. It's a heavy burden upon your heart. And it weighs on you not just now and again. It weighs on you constantly. And there's not a waking moment that it's not upon you. And if you don't come to the Lord for the comfort and the settling of that thing, you will go crazy. You'll go mad. But the Word of God has been written in order to give and to provide that very necessary comfort and peace to still the storm. The Lord has promised to us that we will have peace in mind and heart. And when the peace of God comes to give us that comfort and that provision, we can face the storm. We're able to go forward. And people will wonder, how can that be done? How can you do that? And the world will wonder at us. But those who know Christ and follow Him will not wonder. They know. There is a person, a believer, who is in touch with God. In touch with their Lord. Communicating with the Spirit of God through the written Word. And believer, tonight, if that is your portion, you are a happy person, contented. Because when you have God's patience, having been instructed by Him, and this comfort settles in upon your heart, you have great satisfaction. Not in the world. You might not have much in this world, actually, compared to many others. But God breathes out His comfort to you, and you know, and you can rest in Him. In the fourth place tonight, and I'll be brief with this. In the fourth place tonight, we find that the Word is written to give us hope. That's the very last phrase. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You know, when you have and possess the hope that God is talking about in His Word, it's the hope of our very Christianity. It's the hope of resurrection. It's the hope that we have because Christ is alive today, and I know that He lives in the power of an endless life, and I know He is coming back again to receive us unto Himself, so that whether we die before the Lord returns, we're going to be with Him, or whether He comes and we're still alive. It is this transcendent hope that we possess as God's children. A certainty, a glorious and blessed certainty. And we draw that from God's Word. And as we meditate on the Scriptures and the Lord gives us these exceeding great and precious promises that are blessed to us, yes, even the promise we read tonight in 2 Timothy 3, that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, that is a most blessed promise. And it's part of the gospel hope that we have. Not to be despairing, not to be cast aside, but to say, yes, Lord, it is part of Your blessed and holy purpose for my life. Friend, feast yourself daily upon the Scriptures. Read your Bible and pray every day, as the little Sunday school chorus says, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. I love those choruses as they reflect God's truth. And one final thing. The Lord has given us His Word and written it for our learning, to teach us, give us patience, comfort, hope, and it is to be received authoritatively. It's a very sad testimony today upon much of the Christian world that God's word is selectively received, but it's not authoritatively received. And we cannot just choose out portions of the scripture that we want to believe and obey, and others we don't. I believe that true, humble submission to God's word is going to be to bring ourselves under its authority. And so, in all of the brokenness of lives around us, sometimes that can be a little bit difficult when people wonder, well, how will I manage with this broken life that I have being brought into Christ as a believer? What am I supposed to do with all these pieces that are all broken out there? How do I bring? Well, friend, you bring those very matters to the Lord. If you have a heart to allow God's word to be supreme over you and to be authoritative in your life, the Lord takes your heart and He knows your mind and He knows your desire. And He knows this, that I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the apostle said. And if that's the case, believer, then you can rejoice and trust the Lord will lead unmistakably, and He will give you great comfort and peace. Let us rest in Him tonight, in all of the uncertainties of life today. But to be encouraged, to be thankful, to be rejoicing with joy that is exceeding. And as we face the challenges of tomorrow, whatever they're going to be, with an election outcome, we don't know. But we will rest in the Lord. We will be not fretting, but we'll be patient in Him. And in when we do that, God's name will be glorified through us. Friend, if you're not a Christian tonight, I earnestly say to you again, don't put it off. Don't wait. Online, get this matter settled now before you put your head on your pillow tonight. Call out unto the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when you call out in Jesus' name, confessing your sin, He will hear your prayer. He will forgive your sin. He will save you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are so blessed, Lord, with Your word and what You've given to us. I just pray, Lord, with confession for the times I have neglected the Holy Scriptures. And I pray, Father, that these truths will be written upon our hearts, for they have been written for our learning and education. Bless us as we think about this motto for Whitfield Christian Schools. Lord, write Your word upon every student's heart. But Lord, before it gets there, it must be written upon the teacher's heart. It must be written on every parent's heart. Lord, answer our prayer. Bless us now tonight. Save precious souls, we ask, Lord. Part us in Your fear with Your rich and mighty blessing. And let it go in front of us, not only today and tomorrow and this week, but until we are called home or until our Lord Jesus comes back again. We ask in His precious and holy name. Amen.